Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Massachusetts has a trash problem. We have more trash than we have space in landfills. So instead of burying trash, we burn it. A recent report found we burn the largest amount of trash per capita in the country. Activists want that to stop. In the second part of our series on trash incinerators in Massachusetts, WBUR's Hannah Shenatry reports on an alternative, stopping trash from existing in the first place.
The roads heading to the incinerator in Haverhill look like a parade in honor of trash. Dump trucks rumble in, carrying garbage bags from about 24 cities and towns. The trucks empty the trash onto a warehouse floor, where a bulldozer pushes it into a massive pit. The trucks keep coming, all day long.
So on a daily basis, we'll have anywhere from 200 to 250 trucks come in, dump their waste.
That's Bill Zaneski. He's the facility manager at the plant.
About 1,650 tons per day and around 602,000 tons annually through the facility.
The trash moving through Haverhill is a fraction of what we produce in the state. A recent report from the Department of Environmental Protection found Massachusetts households and businesses threw out 5.5 million tons of garbage in 2019. Most of that was burned in places like Haverhill. But activists say the state's 7 incinerators emit too much pollution and should be closed. They also don't want more landfills. Kirsty Petchy is an environmental attorney with the Conservation Law Foundation.
We haven't created programs to deal with our waste, and people can't really imagine anything different than just burning it or burying it.
What Petchy and other advocates imagine is a drastic and immediate reduction in how much trash we generate. The idea is called zero waste. It's basically a system of policies designed to force companies to make less stuff and to force people to throw less in the trash can.
What we're talking about is reducing waste first, then reusing and redesigning materials so they can be reused. And then only after we do that do we look at actually recycling and composting.
The zero waste idea has picked up momentum in recent years, and parts have been adopted in a few communities, including Cambridge and Nantucket. It includes policies like charging people for each trash bag on the curb, increasing how much money people can get for bottle returns, or, more immediately, making sure items that can be recycled or composted stay out of the garbage in the first place. Massachusetts already bans lots of stuff from the trash, including glass, metal, and cardboard. However, we still throw a lot of this away. One in every 4 trash loads that get inspected by the state fail that inspection because they are filled with material that isn't supposed to be there.
It's very difficult to get every single person and every single business to separate every single pound of every single material they generate that's potentially recoverable.
John Fisher is the Deputy Division Director for Solid Waste at the Department of Environmental Protection. He says the state is aiming for a 30% reduction in waste by 2030 and getting to zero waste in a couple decades. Fisher knows that's not fast enough for local activists, but he says the state still hasn't reached a reduction goal it set 10 years ago.
We set goals that we felt were, you know, achievable and were aggressive, but achievable on a statewide basis.
According to the Department of Environmental Protection, even if the state hits its waste reduction goals, there still won't be enough landfill space in state. But when trash is burned, its volume shrinks. So incinerators will continue to play a role in the state's trash plan. Some consider well-run incinerators a better alternative to landfills, because where incinerators emit carbon dioxide, landfills produce methane.
When we look at what the impact of those two gases happens to be with respect to, let's say, climate change and greenhouse gas issues, clearly the methane gas is significantly more detrimental in our environment than the CO2.
That's Frank Rothel. He runs the Waste Reduction and Management Institute at Stony Brook University in New York and specializes in environmental chemistry.
Now, if we could find a strategy for managing our solid waste where there would be no methane produced, no CO2 produced, that would be a game changer.
Janet Dominitz with the advocacy group MassPurg argues there are better strategies, but they require completely reframing the problem.
We just don't have to choose between landfills and incinerators. We have to choose between disposal and sustainability. We have to choose between protecting our planet and continuing to trash it. Like, that's the choice.
Dominitz says there's more of an appetite for fast change than the state thinks. She points to the fact that nearly 150 cities and towns in Massachusetts now have local policies banning single-use plastic bags. Dominitz also sees hope in a state bill that would force companies making packaging to cover the costs of recycling their products. It's called Extended Producer Responsibility. Similar bills have failed in the past, but this time around, there appears to be momentum. And this time there's precedent. Last year, Maine became the first state in the country to make extended producer responsibility the law. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Hannah Schnatry.